Hello and welcome to episode 9 of World of Podcast, or World of Warcraft Podcast. Since this episode is going to be talking about druids, I'm affectionately calling it Druidcast. Let's get to it. So what is a druid? Well, in the World of Warcraft, a druid is what is known as a hybrid class. There are three hybrid classes in the game: shaman, druids, and paladins. Now, one of the things that you're going to hear a lot from other people is, oh, my class X is so gear dependent. And in a lot of cases, it's talking about warriors. Well, truth be told, every single hybrid class is much more gear dependent than any warrior ever will be. And any of you warriors who disagree, roll a hybrid, try to fulfill all three of your roles in one set of armor and see how that works. So, druids are a hybrid. Hybrids, basically, they have abilities that let them do more than one thing and do it well, not necessarily the best. And the druids, for their hybridization, they can heal, they can do damage spell casting, and they can do melee DPS or tank, depending on their spec and gear and everything else like that. So, what do you do as a druid? First, you got to figure out what tree you want to go deep into, because unlike most of the main classes, in order to really get a big benefit out of anything that you do, you really need to spec deeply into one tree, period. You know, it's not like rogues where you can go 17 points in one tree, you know, a couple points in another, and then another points in a third. Or it's not like a priest where you can still do some of that too, or a mage, or whatever. Whereas those classes, they mainly end up specking in two trees. You know, one fully and then the other one is, you know, partially. When you play a druid, or any of the hybrids, you really, really have to spec a lot of points into one tree to the point where, in many cases, you don't have a whole lot of points to go spreading around to other places. What this means is that you end up specializing in one section and, in effect, gimping yourself in others. So, looking at the druid talent trees, we're going to really show how this works. There are three talent trees for the druid class: the balance tree, the Feral Combat Tree, and the Restoration Tree. The Balance Tree generally deals with spell damage and damaging spells and increasing their effects or your mana efficiency with them, that sort of stuff. Your Feral Combat Tree deals both with your bear form and with your cat form, both of which I'll explain in a little bit. And then your Restoration Tree deals with your healing abilities. It mainly affects just your healing spells, although there are a little bit of feral trees in there. Now, without going into too much detail about each tree, because you can look at them all yourselves, in order to be a really effective balance druid, you're looking at least 38 points into the balance tree. Out of 51, 38 of them would be in the balance tree. If you're looking to be a really good feral druid, you're looking at least 34 points in the Feral Combat Tree. Now, I want to note that these 34 points does not take you to the 31-point talent, which is leader of the pack, But all of these talents will max out your... Well, actually, all of these talents, what they are, is they help both cat form and bear form. Okay, there are specialized talents for each form in there, however. So, but you're looking at least 34 points in the Feral Combat Tree. Now, when we talk about the Restoration Tree and healing druids, if you want to be the best possible healer you can be as a druid, you are specking no less than 44 out of 51 points into your Restoration Tree. Some go as high as 46. Actually, I know some that go 51, but in order to get the 51, they're taking the Feral Combat abilities, which are pretty useless as a Restoration Druid because your Feral forms are pretty gimp. So as you can see from hearing just how many points you have to put into one single tree to really be good, at that particular facet of your class. You can see why I mean, or what I mean when I say, you know, you're gimping yourself in other areas in order to be good at one thing. Whereas warriors, rogues, priests, mages, warlocks, and hunters can easily do a 31-20 spec between two trees, or a 30-21 spec between two trees. It is much harder for druids or any hybrid class to really be able to do that sort of, you know, the splitting of the points, because if they do that, they lower their effectiveness in any role that they're trying to do that involves their main tree that they've decided to go down. So if a balanced druid doesn't spend 38 points in the balanced tree, you know, yeah, they can still be pretty good at balanced stuff with the spell damage and some other stuff. But they're not going to be quite as good as that druid that did spend 38 points in there. You can spend 20 points in the feral tree and be okay. But you're not going to be anywhere near as good as the druid who spent at least 34 points in the feral tree when it comes to feral combat. Or you could spend 20 points in restoration and get a little boost to your healing. But you're not going to be healing anywhere near as well or with the efficiency of a druid who has spent 44 points at least in that tree. So the 31-20 stuff, it doesn't work quite as well with druids. It can, and so can 30-21, but you lose out on some talents that are pretty much essential to really, really make your druid the best at that facet. Okay? You can do it. I know a lot of people that go 30 feral and 21 resto, so they get nature swiftness. You can do that. But the guy who spends, say, 36 or 38 points in the feral combat tree is going to be a better feral druid than you are for using his feral combat abilities when he's in cat or bear form. So you got to really think about this. Talent trees for druids are insanely specialized, where they're not quite as specialized for some other classes. So what points do I recommend? Honestly, it'd be easier for me to show you than it will be for me to tell you, because you're really going to have to look at how I set these trees up to show you for each spec as to how to do it. So what I'm going to do is on my forums, I'm going to put a post with a link to the essential talents for each type of druid. It'll be on the World of Warcraft site. It'll show you all of the talents that I feel are essential to making you the best at one particular facet of your class. Either your feral abilities, your balance abilities, or your restoration healing abilities. So let's go to the beginning. Who can be druids? Well, on the Alliance side, you can be a Night Elf and be a druid. And on the Horde side, you can be a Tauren and be a druid. These are the only two races in the entire game that can be druids. So, what do you do? Well, you're going to start out. You're going to start out with Mark of the Wild, which is your main buff as a druid. You're going to start out with a healing spell, and you're going to start out with a damage spell. They're not very powerful. Obviously, you're level 1. Basically, you're just going to go along, do your little leveling until you hit level 10. At level 10, when you talk to your druid trainer to get your new abilities, you're going to get a quest. This quest is to go get your bear form. You're going to get a new spell that's called Teleport Moonglade. And what it does is it just lets you, as a druid, to teleport to Moonglade at any time you wish. You're going to go there, and you're going to get a quest to go talk to this great bear spirit. The bear spirit will give you another quest, and then you're going to head back to either Teldrassil or Darkshore or Mulgore, depending on which race you are. Then you're going to end up going and fighting this moonkin called Rageclaw. After defeating Rageclaw, you will go back to your druid trainer, Actually, you'll go back to the guy in Moonglade first, and then go back to your druid trip. And then you will be able to shift into bear form, and you will get a new button to press. When you shift to bear form, your armor is increased by another 180%, which gets added in to your current armor. You gain some attack power, and then you gain some new abilities. At this point, you are also able to start specking into the Feral Combat Tree, because you're now 10th level. Now, I want to mention that the Night Elf version is much harder to do than the Tauren version for one simple reason. The Taurens walk outside of Mulgore into the Barrens, make a right immediately, and there's a stone. And then Rageclaw pops out and they fight him. Okay. The Night Elves end up having to go to Darkshore, fight their way, and find the caves with all the Moonkin. Kill the Moonkin in the area. Then they get this, they can touch the stone, and then they can fight Rageclaw. So, it's a little bit harder to do there. After that, you're going to get another quest. And this is to learn your Abolish Poison spell. And what this is going to do, or actually your Cure Poison spell, your Abolish one you buy later. You're going to get a quest. If you're Tauren, you're going to run around the Barrens, and you're going to get a couple items. And if you're a Druid, you're going to run around Darkshore. Or I'm sorry, if you're a Night Elf, you're going to run around Darkshore and get a couple items. You're going to come back, and then you're going to be told you have to cure sick deer in Darkshore, or sick gazelles in the Barrens. Now, one of the ironic things about this quest is when you're not looking for these sick deer or gazelles, they're everywhere. Like, you can't move 2 inches without bumping into 12 of them. When you are on the quest, it's like they all disappear. You're running all over the place for them. I don't know why maybe it just seems that way, but it's kind of a pain in the ass. You go, you cure 10 sick deer or gazelle, you go back to your druid trainer, and you learn, or you go back to the quest giver. They give you another quest to go talk to the guy in Moonglade, I believe. I don't know, to go talk to your druid trainer. It's one or the other. And you learn the spell Cure Poison. Now, as a druid, you can cure poisons. Hooray! Your next quest is at level 16. You are, again, told to go to Moonglade and talk to the archdruid. And then he gives you a quest. And that quest sends you into Lake Ilun Ara in Moonglade. And this is a timed quest at this point. You have 30 minutes to swim down. There'll be these, like, pillars down there that have a glow around them. You're going to open one of them up, get an item, a bauble. You're going to take that bauble over to another area of Moonglade, which the easiest way to do it is just swim directly east while you are in the lake. It just pops you out right there. Pardon me. And then you're going to sit there and you use the item there. And you talk to this chick right there, this night elf. And she gives you the next part of your quest. Now, feel lucky. Because back in the very early days, even before I became, started playing, this quest was timed the whole way. And it was a pain in the ass. So this quest is now going to send you to 2 other areas to collect 2 halves of a medallion. For the Night Elves, 1 half is in Darkshore and is surrounded by level 17 to 19 threshers, so that's always fun. For the Tauren, 1 half is found in the Barrens, and there is like 1 mob you have to really worry about in the water. Again, easier. Then you get sent to the other area. Now, it tells you to talk to people in Moonglade, and they'll tell you, like, where it might be. You just got to talk to the Flight Masters that are right next to each other. There's a Tauren one and a Night Elf one, and they're going to tell you the basics. For the second part of the Alliance one, you have to go to Westfall in the Eastern Kingdoms. This involves the longest run in history. If you do not have a mage that can port you to Ironforge or Stormwind, you're going to be running forever. You've got to run all the way through the wetlands, all the way through Loch Moden, and then all the way through Dunmore until you get to Ironforge. And from Ironforge, you take the tram to Stormwind. Then from Stormwind, you head out to Westfall. Obviously, you will head west. Once you are out there, you're going to swim out into the ocean. And you're going to look for an anchor at the bottom of the sea. This anchor points you in the direction you have to go. There'll be a little crevice, or there'll be a big crevice, actually, but there'll be a little nook that you can swim down, and there will be some air bubbles at the bottom and a chest. You open up the chest, you get the other half. Hooray, teleport to Moonglade, you're right next to air bubbles, you got plenty of time. Combine the two elements where it tells you to, at the Shrine of Cenarius, I think, and you're done. For Torin, the second part is in Silverpine. And I actually believe the Torin have this part a little bit harder. I never finished it on my Torin Druid because I was sick of the quest by that point. But you have to go out to Silverpine, and I believe it's inside of a ship that's sunk off the coast. But I believe there are murlocs or something else around it that you have to worry about. Same deal, though. You get it. Teleport to Moonglade. Turn it in. You're done. Up until patch 1.10, that was the last druid quest ever. Not anymore. Now you get one at 50th level, so you get a little while. But after you turn these things in, you get the medallion, you put it together, you go talk to the archdruid, and now you can turn into a sea lion. Sea lion form is very helpful, especially if you're an herbalist, because what it lets you do is you can swim at no movement penalty, and you breathe underwater. And you can still pick strangle kelp underwater. So, it's pretty nice. It doesn't have many uses outside of just getting away from PvP or, you know, quickly swimming to one area as opposed to other people. It gets no armor benefit. It uses your same attack power. It's got a slow attack speed. You know, it's not really something to fight in. You can't cast spells in it. So it's mainly just a water travel form is what it is. You just swim. You know? Hey. There you go. It's the big thing. They had to put a quest in for this. For something that you'll use maybe 5% of your playtime after you get it. I don't know. But people like it. I use it all the time when I'm swimming from, you know, when I teleport to Moonglade and I want to get to the main Alliance flight master in there. I swim through the lake and it lets me go a lot faster. Other than that, it really doesn't have much of a use. Not to me, anyway. So now you've got your sea lion form. You've started to really look in the trees and say, how do I want to go? Well, that's going to depend. The two leveling specs are Feral Combat and Balance. The reason is these both improve damage capabilities. Feral Combat improves damage capabilities while in Feral Form. And your Balance Tree will affect your damage spells like Wrath, Moonfire, and Starfire. It's really kind of hard to look at it and say what's the best spec for leveling. A lot of druids, especially after 1.8, have decided that the Feral Combat Tree is probably the fastest leveling tree. It lets you kill stuff really fast. You can move on. You have very little downtime, if any at all. It works out great, especially after 20th level when you can get your cat form, which is just bought from your trainer. So, yeah, you could go feral, or you could go what I did, which was more balance. And I'll have to admit that going balance probably slowed my leveling. But I was still able to kill stuff fairly quickly, but I happen to have a pretty long downtime after every kill or two, depending on the level of the mobs and the level of myself at the time. So, make your choice. Restoration. If you're going to go restoration the whole way, I really hope you have groups the entire time you are playing. Otherwise, have fun taking 3 to 5 minutes to kill a yellow mob because your damage output will be absolutely nothing. Restoration spec. Your spells do pitiful damage. Your feral forms will do not quite as pitiful damage, but pretty pitiful damage as well. And it's much more of an end game spec than a leveling spec. Druids are a very good soloing class, so if you're going to solo a lot, you can go feral or balance. Although at this point, looking back, I'd probably recommend feral just for the complete, like almost complete lack of downtime. The restoration spec, it's not good for leveling at all unless you've got a group the whole time that you work with and you all do the same quests and instances all the time. Since I mentioned cat form, let's go into the different forms beyond Seelon. You have your bear form. It's your tanking form. Remember, all forms have a set attack speed and a set damage. What this means is that you get better weapons that do more damage. They don't scale. They don't do anything for you. So your weapons in feral form are just your claws, and that's it. And they have set attack speeds. Bear has a 2.5 second attack speed, and cat has a 1 second attack speed. Bear is your tanking form. It adds armor, it adds hit points, it adds some attack power. It has many tank-like abilities, warrior-like abilities. You have two taunts, one on a 10-second cooldown, and one on a 10-minute cooldown, just like a warrior. You don't have, however, have Mocking Blow or anything else like that. You do have Demoralizing Roar, which acts like Demoralizing Shout. You have Bash, which is your stun, and it's on a 1-minute cooldown, whether it hits or misses. And I must say that the miss rate on Bash seems to be higher than the hit rate, because it misses all the time, especially when you really need it to hit. It just loves to miss. You have Frenzied Regeneration, which is a 3-minute cooldown that transforms your rage in bear form into health. Starts at 1 rage equals 1 health, and it takes up to 10 rage per second for 10 seconds. As you go up in level, you can increase this. It will become 1 rage equals 15 health, and then 1 rage equals 2 health. Any plus healing items you have do not affect Frenzied Regeneration. But Frenzied Regeneration can crit. Each one of its ticks can crit. Doesn't always crit, but it can. So at 60th level, your Frenzied Regeneration will heal you 2,000 hit points if you have full rage. Just so you know. Let's see, other than that, Bear really doesn't have a lot unless you're specced into Feral. If you're specced into Feral, you can get an ability called Feral Charge, which acts as both intercept and charge. It can be used in or out of combat as long as you're far enough away, and it costs 10 rage. But you have to spec into it. If you do not spec into it, you do not get it. Then we have Cat Form. Cat Form is your melee damage DPS. It's much more like a rogue. You can stealth in Cat Form and prowl around. You have two openers, one which has a stun and a damage over time effect, and the other that is just direct damage. Other than that, though, Cat Form has no stuns. Cat Form is not as versatile as a rogue. Cat Form has a couple damage abilities. You have Claw, which will add damage to your next attack. Picture it as like Sinister Strike if you play a rogue. You have Rip. What the hell is it called? I don't remember, but there's a damage over time one that gives you a combo point. Just like a rogue, you get combo points. And it's a bleed effect. Then you have Shred, which you get from behind, and it acts just like a rogue's backstab. It increases the damage by 250% plus X amount of damage, depending on your level. Of course, you have to be behind the opponent to be able to do that, so if you're fighting one-on-one, you're not getting behind it because you can't stun it to get behind it. You don't have a gouge. You also have a few finishers. You have Rip, which is another damage over time finisher, and depending on how many combo points you have, will say how much damage it will do. the more combo points, the better. You also have Ferocious Bite, which is used just like Eviscerate. It just does a set amount of damage depending on how many combo points you have. You also get an ability called Cower. And what Cower does is it acts like a rogue's feint, and it will make it so that your threat goes down. It decreases your threat on the aggro meter. However, if you're fighting just one-on-one, just like a rogue, feint and cower don't do anything for you. Other than that, feral forms, there isn't too much. You should note, however, that at 40th level, you get a new bear form that you buy from the trainer. I believe it cost me 10 gold. I don't remember. This is called Dire Bear Form. Dire Bear Form increases your armor instead of 180% like bear form by 360%. So you essentially will be wearing plate armor. Dire Bear also increases the amount of hit points you get when you shift to bear. And I believe it increases the attack power bonus that you get while in bear. Still has the same attack speed. I believe its damage is upped a little bit, but not much. There is no dire cat form. There is no improved cat form. You just get the one form and you're done. As I mentioned, remember, weapons mean nothing while in bear or cat form. Your weapon skill doesn't mean anything. You are considered to have a full 300 or whatever your level is skill when you are in those forms as far as hitting. The damage of your weapon means absolutely nothing because each of your forms has its own set damage, as I said. So don't be thinking, ooh, I got this, uber DPS mace. Well, if it doesn't have stats on it, it's worthless to you. And I will explain the stats in a moment. Moving along, I said I was going to discuss stats. Here's the reason why I say the hybrid classes actually are more gear-dependent than warriors. Yes, warriors are gear-dependent. They're not much without gear. But hybrid classes, all of them, druids, shaman, and paladin, are actually more gear-dependent because, as I showed you with the talent specs, you need to spec really far into a tree to get the best benefit out of it. And at the same time, you have to use gear that gives you certain stats in order to do it. A warrior really only has to focus on two stats. Strength and stamina. Getting some other stuff is nice, plus defense, plus parry, plus block. But strength and stamina are the two main things that a warrior has to focus on. Druids have to focus on every stat. Depending on your role in the group, or your talent spec, or whatever, you have to focus on different stats when you're a druid. You've got to focus on pretty much every stat, but you have to do it with different sets of gear. Okay? Doesn't matter what your spec is, you got to know what you need. Let's say you're a restoration spec like me. I am 46 restoration, 5 balance. What I have is my restoration set. It is plus 453 healing. It has a lot of stamina, a lot of intelligence, and a lot of spirit, which helps my mana regeneration. It lets me do really nice heals, but if I have to go cat or bear, I can't do anything in that gear. I need to switch to my feral gear, and my feral gear takes up over 20 slots worth of inventory space in my backpacks at all times. I have different gear depending on the situation. If I'm going to be tanking, I have a few pieces of tank gear. If I'm going to be DPSing as a cat, I have a few pieces of cat gear. And then the rest of my feral set is just stuff that would help both. I also have different cloak. I have different rings. I have different weapon. I have different trinkets. These are all things that I have to carry around at all times so that I can be ready when I do a group, if I have to main tank, I know I can do it because of my gear, okay? If I'm going to be DPSing because we don't have a DPS class, but we have another healer, I can do it because I know that I've got the gear to do it. And if we're going to be healing, or if I'm going to be healing because I'm the main healer, then I've already got that gear as well. So let's look at the stats that are important. Stamina. Everybody needs stamina. It's what you need. Intellect. Doesn't matter what you are, you need at least some intellect. You know, what spec. Even if you're feral, you're going to need some intellect because that's going to help your mana pool. Strength. You don't need that in caster form. What you need strength in is cat and bear, because you get 2 points of attack power for every point of strength that you have in those forms. Agility. In cat form, you get 1 extra attack power per point of agility. Therefore, your cat form gear should be heavy on both strength and agility. Your bear form gear should be heavy on stamina, strength, and armor because of the armor bonus you get for going to bear form. Spirit. You need spirit as a caster because that helps your mana regeneration. If you're looking, you know, you're keeping track, it's pretty much every stat you need. As a druid, or as any hybrid actually, you need to look at every stat and see what you need. A druid especially because of the fact that they can perform different roles depending on what the groups need. Now, one of the things that I know has been a big problem for people, rogues especially, who aren't yet in the endgame 20 and 40 man raids, is feral druids going after Shadowcraft. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're a feral druid wearing all Shadowcraft, and you think you're doing really good, delete your character. Right now. It's going to sound harsh, but you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Shadowcraft is absolutely horrible for a feral druid. Absolutely the worst possible set you could possibly get. It's all agility. There is almost no strength on there at all. You gimp your forms. Okay? You gimp them. Oh, but I've got a 30% crit rate. That's great, but your crits don't do as much damage as they could be doing. Simple numeric example. If my feral gear for cat has 100 strength on it and 75 agility, that means in cat form, I have an extra 275 attack power and about a 3% chance to crit, give or take. And if I meet up with another feral druid, or another druid, who has 175 agility, well, in cat form, they only have 175 extra attack power. But they get about a 7% chance to crit. So they're going to crit more often, but my crits will do more damage. And because I'm not relying on crits to do my damage, I am not going to pull aggro as easily as he will. This is why I say, if you are wearing Shadowcraft and think you are the best feral druid ever, just delete that character and go roll a rogue. Because you are not a rogue that can heal themselves. You're a damn kitty druid at that point. You're not feral, you're kitty. You probably don't even know what bear form is anymore. Because you probably never use it, and you probably think, oh, it doesn't do any damage. Well, it doesn't do any damage because you gimped it. And you've also gimped your cat form, whether you know it or not. You know, I hate to sound like a real dickhead about that, but I see far too many kitty druids who focus all on agility. They don't realize that strength is more important than agility. And then they, you know, they look at their crit rate and they're like, oh, I'm the best thing. And it's like, yeah, but you're gimped. My cat form would do more damage than theirs because my cat form focuses on raw attack power and strength and agility and a little bit of crit percentage. So my white damage is going to be more than theirs on average. They'll crit more, but that also pulls aggro. Doesn't help. Doesn't help at all when you're supposed to be acting like the rogue and going around and DPSing stuff down without pulling aggro. Of course, I also know how to use cower. But that's a different story. So, you gotta look at your gear. You gotta look at what the group needs. Because remember, you cannot change gear except for weapons while in combat. So, if you have to emergency tank, well, you can probably do it in your resto gear, but not very well. If you have to emergency DPS, you can probably do it in your resto or balance gear and not do very well, but not do it very well. Okay? If you have to emergency heal in your feral gear, you're not going to be able to do it very well because you're not going to have the mana. You're not going to have the intellect that's going to help you do that. These are things you have to be wary of. You have to just be mindful. Okay? You're going to have to say, what am I doing in the group? And what gear should I wear? And you should be carrying around different sets of gear for each form. Your bear form needs certain stats. Your cat form needs certain stats. And your caster form needs certain stats. So you've got to collect a lot of gear. And by a lot, I mean a crying shame's worth of gear because of just how much room you lose based on just your gear sets. You know, I'm missing out on an entire backpack plus just of gear. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a warlock. You know, I'm not losing this stuff because I need an ammo or shard bag. I'm just losing it because I'm a druid and I know how to play a druid. And I know I need all this gear. So, as a druid, what is your role in a group? Well, that depends on what the group pulls you in for. If they pull you in as a tank, which isn't going to be often, most groups, you know, pickup groups are going to look for a warrior to tank. But a feral druid can tank the five-man instances and even UBRS just as well as a warrior. I'm not going to say he can tank as well as a warrior overall, because he can't. But he can tank pretty damn close. And in those five-mans, a feral druid in bear form is a fine tank. Goddamn hiccups. If you're going to be brought in as a DPSer, well, don't expect that either, because they'd rather have a rogue or a hunter do the DPS. But if they do, a cat form feral druid is going to do a lot of DPS. It's not going to out DPS a rogue in the same type of gear, same level of gear, but he's going to come pretty close, 70-80%, maybe a little more, depending on what the druid has and what the rogues have. Most of the time, they're going to pull you in to be a healer. Blame this on the fact that there is a drastic shortage of healers in this game. Playing priests, holy priests especially, not fun. Okay? They are insanely hard to level up. Just like a restoration druid would be insanely hard to level up. Other hybrids have this problem though too. If they're going to bring a paladin, they want the paladin to back up, heal, and res. They're going to bring a shaman, they want the shaman to back up, heal, or main heal, and res. They do not want these people to be doing other roles because, frankly, they don't realize that these other classes can do some really nice things. So as a druid, you have to be ready, and I don't care what your spec is. I don't care if you are the most hardcore feral druid out there, or the most hardcore moonkin balanced druid out there. 9 times out of 10, they're going to be looking for a healer. And that's what they're going to expect you to do. If you don't like it, don't join the group. But don't join the group and then decide you're not healing. You can heal. There is a shortage of healers. And if they bring you in to heal, you are expected to heal. Period. I can't put it any more bluntly. Trust me. I don't like being healbot any more than anyone else. But with my current spec, which I did for raiding, and with my current gear, which is all raid gear except for 2 pieces, this is what I do best. Period. I heal better than I tank, I heal better than I DPS, and I heal better than I spell DPS. there's no questions. And honestly, a feral druid with the right gear can heal extremely well. If a good feral druid has nice healing gear, nice caster gear, he's going to have more mana than a restoration druid, thanks to the 30-point feral talent. Which means he can heal for longer. He might not heal as efficiently as a restoration druid, but he'll be able to heal for longer. And in some cases, that can be the difference between life and death. So, I hate to, you know, sound cliché-ic here, but if you're a druid, expect to be asked to heal. If you don't like it, find people that let you do what you would rather do. And you're not going to find many that are going to do that. Most groups, pickup groups, even guild groups, are going to expect you to heal when you're in their groups. Because it's an unfortunate thing, but many people only see the hybrid classes, the druids, the shamans, and the paladins, as healers, not as a hybrid that can do different roles. So you have to be ready to heal. You might not like it, but you got to suck it up and be ready to do it, or you're going to have a really hard time finding groups. Now, if there's another healer in the group for a five-man, like a priest, then maybe they brought you in to do DPS or help tank. But you can't always count on that either. I've been in groups with a priest and I was expected to heal. You know, five-man. So, you know, I don't like it any more than you do. I didn't choose a druid to become people's heal bots. And I don't expect you, my listeners, to play druids to expect to play heal bots. But I do expect you to know that because you are a druid, because you do have powerful healing spells, that if you are brought in as a healer, that is what you are supposed to do. It's what the group looked for. It's why they picked you. And you better damn well have the gear to help do it, too. Because if you've got a 3,000-point mana pool, then forget it. You can't main heal shit. Okay? Collect more gear. Have gear for whatever situation the groups that are calling for you want you to be able to do. If they want you to tank, great. More power to you. If they want you to DPS, either spell or melee, more power to you. But I will guarantee you that 9 out of every 10 groups that asks you to go with them, they need a healer. Most of them will be right up front about it, too. They're going to look at you, or they're going to whisper you and say, hey, we need a healer for this. Do you want to go? You got to make a choice right then. Make your choice then. If you absolutely refuse to heal ever, except yourself, then you really need to think about re-rolling. You really do. You need to look and say, I like being a druid because I'm a rogue that can heal himself, then go roll a rogue and learn first aid. Or, I am the best tank ever, then go roll a warrior and learn first aid. Because if you are not willing to heal when it is called upon, then you're not playing your class. And you might as well be playing you're one of the parent classes, the warrior or the rogue. Okay? And I know it sounds harsh. I know it sounds like a complete dickhead thing to say. And it is. Alright? But it's also the truth. Your class can heal. Therefore, if you are asked to heal, that is what you are supposed to do. Period. I don't know how many times I can say that to emphasize it. Just because you are not specced for it doesn't mean refuse to heal. Okay? Shadow priests get the same thing. Oh, but I'm a shadow priest. Doesn't matter. We need a priest to heal your healing. If they don't like it, they can leave the group. If you don't like it as a druid, you can leave the group. Or you can start up another group and get a priest so that you can tank or DPS. But when people ask you to join groups, you have to be ready to expect them to ask you to join as the healer, not as the DPSer or the tank. and it doesn't matter what your spec. It really doesn't. And let me tell you, I know many feral druids with really good healing gear that can fool people into thinking they're restoration druids. And they'll go the whole instance. And then they'll shift to Cat or Bear at the end after the final boss is dead and give everybody leader of the pack. Just to say, yeah, I can do it. And that's the type of druid that I think my listeners should strive for. You can fill any role. Granted, like I said, most of the time that role is going to be to heal. But you can fill any role. You just have to be willing to accept to take any role that the groups need. I really can't stress that enough. I really can't. Now, though, I want to get into just a little bit of specialization for end-game druids. These are druids. Most of the time, they're going to be restoration. I'm not saying all. We have some feral druids in our guild that do great. We've got one. He's got all his PvP gear up to rank 8 or 9. Maybe it's 10. Whatever. Really nice feral gear. He tanks alongside our warrior in AQ and in Zul'Garub, and he does it fine. Alright? But most end-game druids are going to be restoration. Now, if you're in a guild that forces you to spec restoration, get out. You shouldn't have to be forced to go a certain spec. I don't endorse it. I don't condone it. Let people spec how they want. But know that in most raids, you're not going to be asked to DPS or tank or spell DPS. You're going to be asked to heal. Just like I was saying before. So, what about endgame druids? Well, one of the other reasons why that stigma exists that druids are just healers is if you look at your tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, and even the Zul'Garub set, it's all plus healing. It's nothing but a healbot set. This helps enforce the thought that all druids should be restoration in endgame. Again, I don't agree with it. Blizzard, you fucking suck for that. Make real gear that druids of any spec can use. Thanks. So, but if you're an endgame druid, you're normally healing. If you're lucky, you're backup healing. Because your guild has enough priests. So you're just there to throw some heal over times on the rogues, help out the priest, innervate the priest, whatever. If you're unlucky like me, you're a main healer. Which means all you do is watch health bars. So, how can we make main healing a little bit less strenuous? Biggest thing I can say, get as much plus healing as possible. Now, when I was on Alachia's WoWcast, when she talked about druids, I didn't really have a ton of plus healing like I do now. I had like 200, okay? But now I've got plus 453 healing. That's a lot of plus healing for a druid. It helps that now I have a Glowing Brightwood staff, and I enchanted it with plus 55 healing spells. I have my Zul'Garub enchant on my pants, which gives me another plus 24 healing, and 10 intellect and 10 stamina. All of my gear, except for my gloves, has plus healing on it. Even my hat. My hat has plus 33 healing. My neck piece doesn't either, but that's whatever. My trinkets have, one is plus 29 healing and damage, the other one is plus 33 healing. I've got a lot of plus healing. What does this let me do? This lets me, as a druid, cast lower rank spells for much less mana and get much better efficiency out of them. I found, since I went to this plus, actually, it was even before the plus, pardon me, the plus 453 healing. I was at plus 390 or plus 400. That if I drop down, instead of using rank 10 healing touch, I could drop down to rank 4 healing touch and heal almost as much as the minimum of my rank 10 healing touch. My rank 4 healing touch with my spec and with, says heals 414 to 505 damage. It also only costs 166 mana. With my plus healing gear, I heal no less than 800 per cast of rank 4 healing touch. My rejuvenations tick for 327 to 328 a tick. My regrowths, they tick for over 200 on the heal over time. So what am I saying? If you're gonna go end game, get the plus healing gear. Run Zol'Garub as much as you can. Take down the bosses that have the plus healing leather that drop from them. That would be Bloodlord Mandekir, Jindo the Hexar, and Jeklik. Take them down. Try to get your leather from them. Jindo's going to be a pain in the ass, I'm not going to lie. But try. Get your Zol'Garub quest rewards. Because they've got a lot of plus healing. Okay, they've all gone epic. They've gotten a little bit more plus healing. It's amazing how little mana I can use in a fight, even a long boss fight, by using my lower rank spells. I can now innervate the priest, because the priest doesn't have as much plus healing and is still using the higher rank spells. I now have my hotbar, you know, your main action bar, is now set up so that I have regrowth on number 6, which I rarely ever use anymore, because it's a huge waste of mana if I have to spam it. Rejuvenation on number 7. And rank 4 healing touch on number 8. That means I can rest my index finger of my left hand, my middle finger, and my ring finger on the 6, 7, and 8. And I am always ready to heal. And I'm not wasting mana when I do it. I'm not overhealing when I do it, unless somebody else heals right as my heal goes off. It's great. I save so much mana. And when Alaccio was talking about how the druids always seem to be able to pull it out their ass, it's probably because they have enough plus healing that they're able to do what I can do. And rank 4 healing touch is cheap. It's 166 mana. That's less than a third of rank 10 healing touch. And it's just over 1/8 of the cost of regrowth. Huge, huge mana saving capabilities by getting plus healing, or plus healing plus damage. The more you can get, you can start dropping down to lower rank healing touches, which have a faster casting time than your rank 10, which means they don't get the full benefit of the plus healing, but they get enough. They get like 80%. You spend a lot less mana, and nobody will ever know. You know, every now and then I'll heal, throw a heal over time, hit my swift mend if I have to, and then I'll start casting my big heal, my rank 10 healing touch. And that's when the tank notices, wow, you just healed me for 2,000. It's like, yeah, I just switched to my big heal because I needed to. Other than that, I'm using lower rank spells, not for rejuvenation, because I only have to throw that on every 12 seconds, or unless I use swift mend. And it's working great. Go for that plus healing gear if you're an endgame druid. Even if you're a feral druid or a balanced druid, because they're going to want you to heal in those raids, mostly. Go get it. Even if they say you can do feral DPS or spell DPS on everything except the bosses. Well, you're going to need healing gear for the bosses. Go get it. Do Zol'Garub. Convince your guild, if you have to, that doing Zol'Garub is going to help you be a better healer, because they're obviously letting the Restoration Druids get the Cenarion before you. Do it. That's what you got to do. So if you're end game, and you're healing end game, get as much plus healing as possible. That is what's going to massively help you out. You are going to sit there and you're going to rock the house. You're not going to waste a lot of mana. You know, carry around some dark runes, some demonic runes, and some mana potions. You're all set. You dark rune or demonic rune yourself. Just heal over time yourself right afterwards and keep the fight going. You got your mana pot. You can use them on separate cooldowns. You can innervate a priest who's probably overhealing. Okay? And when you look at the healing meters, you might not be top of the healing meters. But if someone has an overhealing meter, you're not going to be the top of the overhealing meter either. And overhealing is much worse than not healing at all. There we go. There's my druid cast. I had to re-record this because you could hear the air conditioner the last time I did it. And you can probably hear my laptop fan right now because it's so hot in this room. Deal with that. But it's a lot less than dealing with that air conditioner. I couldn't get that out. But I want you to check my forums. Go to worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Click over in the sidebar, World of Podcast Forums. Go check it out. I'm going to put up talent builds, links to talent builds. It's going to be called Sam's Quick Druid Guide. It's going to have links to talent builds in it. The feral talents, I'm going to point out, are just the essential feral talents that help both cat and bear. As such, only 43 points, I think, are used. And you've got a couple extra to spread around. No, I'm sorry, 39 points are used. Only 39 points are used. So you've got some extra to spread around. The balance tree is all about balance damage. Okay? And I might as well mention it now. Balance druids get fucked in endgame. There's very little spell damage gear. I'm sorry. I used to be a balance druid. I know your pain. And I explain the build without having to show it for restoration druids. So go check out the forums. Join them. Let me know what you think. It's all free. It ain't costing you shit. You can do it. Also, if you have any comments that you don't want to put on the forums, you can email them to me, UncleThursday@gmail.com. I read all my email. I might not respond to it all, but I read it all. Don't worry. I check it every day. I don't get enough hate mail. I don't get enough fan mail. I did get some fan mail the other day, and the guy's like, I know you said you wanted hate mail, but, you know, here's some fan mail. I'm like, okay, whatever. It works. It's cool. It means someone's listening. So, what's coming up next? That's going to depend. I'm going to be playing on the test realms a little bit this week when I'm not raiding. I am taking my guild officially into Molten Core for the first time this weekend, so wish me luck. And as a result, Public Test Realm 2 should be my next episode. That'll be for patch 1.12. I should have that out next week, maybe a week and a half, depending on how long the test realms are up. After that, it's going to depend on how long it takes for patch 1.12 to come out. If it comes out before I'm ready to release episode 10, then patch show 2 will be next after test realm show 2. And if not, then we'll have episode 10 and then patch show 2. I thank you for listening. I hope my voice didn't kill you too badly. And I will see you guys later. Have fun.